All right, so for tonight, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to have a topical message, and so it's going to be on something I've written here in the update, and I gave it to the men last Friday morning, and they were appreciative, that well-received, I believe, and my concern, as many pastors' concerns, are that our church members know their biblical roles in family and life, marriage. And so I wanted to deal with this. So some of you read it. Some of you didn't get, some of the men didn't get to hear me give this. But I wanted to cover this as a something appropriate, because I'm concerned, as any pastor would be, about our church members knowing how they fit together, not only in a body, but also how they fit together in the family unit. And so I'm going to give you this handout. So we've got the handout here, and same one I gave out Friday morning, but we'll got enough copies for everybody. And so I've got the scripture on here that I want to deal with. All right, so The article is called The Redivivus of Eve in American Marriages. All right, so talk about American marriages. So I've mentioned here before, American Christianity is really very, very weak. And coinciding with that are American marriages very, very weak. All right, so they go together. So, I've given you a Latin word there. You can focus on that for a little bit. Redivivus. That means a revival or the second effort here, something like that. All right. So, this is going around where men are born as Adamites, and women, or we could say boys are born as Adamites, and girls are born as feminists. All right? So what do you think about that? All right? Okay. All right, so I want to write, first of all, a disclaimer here. And so in American marriages, both man and woman have a responsibility here. So Adam and his fellow men are the problem for the revival of Eve in American marriages, as this essay addresses the acknowledgement and avoidance of feminism for both Christian men and women. So as I mentioned there, every unsaved person coming into the world as a man is an Adamite, every woman is a feminist. And the unsaved continue to be Adamites, and the women continue to be feminists. And it's only by being filled with the Holy Spirit are men, do men have victory over the Adamic nature, and do women have victory over being a feminist. All right? So, now, in this, we're dealing with feminism, but the problem with feminism was and is Adam. All right, so I'm giving you the verses here. Let's look there in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we have in the verses 1 through 3, and then verse 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now, the second clause, the Lord never said that. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to be make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with. See that preposition, with? With her. Standing right there. Adam is standing right there. And he did eat. Of course, he wasn't deceived in the transgression, but she was. And so when did sin begin in the garden? Well, they began to die. They began to die when they ate. Before they ever ate, they had to make a decision, we're going to eat. And before they ate and made a decision that they're going to eat, Adam had to say, I'm going to defer to my wife. But think of that. And so, and she was ready to take that responsibility. And so notice the pattern here. The woman listens to the creature, and the man listens to the woman. And so we have this outset at the beginning of human history. And Lord had already given them the plan for marriage in chapter 2. Leave, cleave, weave, all right? So he already gave them the plan for marriage. And so the issue here is that roles were reversed. Roles were reversed. Right at the outset. So what do you think is going to happen in this world? What do you think is going to happen in this world? The tendency is going to have roles reversed. That's the tendency. That doesn't have to be the case. The Bible is very clear on roles and so on. So we're going to look at some of these verses and so on. But roles will not be reversed when you have saved people recognizing what their roles are and filled with the Spirit wanting to carry out their roles. So, as pastor, I want everyone to have understanding on roles. What are our roles? Not necessarily in the church, although it affects the church, but in our relationships and family units. All right, so it starts off here as I write this. It seems that Eve has made a comeback. No. The feminist Eve has always been around, quite often in the background, but of recent in full control of every aspect of Christian American life. I'm going to give you the charts in the next page or so, but follow this. The Eve movement has reversed the God-given roles of man over woman and produced matriarchy throughout America, if not the whole world. Matriarchy is the rule of women. Patriarchy is the rule of men. All right. Not only has feminism reversed the roles, but actually emasculated men to the extent that they have been avoiding marriage and fatherhood. That's where we are currently in America. Now the American government and society has incentivized women to be independent of husbands and fathers. So the American government and society has preconditioned the situation, preconditioned. And so that's where we are in our country today. As the biological clock for women begins to pressure them for childbirth, if they're interested, a man is needed temporarily to father the child and then move along either through divorce or just move out. So we live in a society there where couples just move together, live together. And, I used to live with him, you know, for 5 years, but we decided to part ways. I mean, that's common language today. That's called immorality. All right. So, because the government is ready to help support the feminist. Now, you think of it. Plenty of support from the government. Now you have to go through the right channels and all this, but plenty of support. Plenty of support. All right, the family unit evaporates and man is demasculinized. Eve wins, man is dethroned, the social family chaos ensues, and divine judgment comes. Why is it among Christian marriages that they have a higher percentage of divorce than non-Christian? Why is that? Why is that? All right, so the patriarchal plan of the patriarchal triune Godhead. So I've mentioned this before. So the Creator not the universe, but the creator of the cosmos is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's a patriarchal Godhead who created his creation as a patriarchal world and to be run that way. When patriarchalism is overcome by matriarchalism, then that's an offense to the triune Godhead. All right, follow this? See the big picture? The big picture. So the patriarchal triune Godhead is eviscerated in American life with the coming judgment on the rebellious revival of Eve and society, churches, families, and on men, women and men. All right, so Isaiah warned about the revivalists of Eve, saying, so this is way back there in the Old Testament, Isaiah 3. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. So notice this. Children are oppressors. You ever been around untrained children? They run the show. Go to the mall or somewhere like that, and child's crying out, I want this, I want that. You know, the Bible says I need to have a rod used on them. On the right place. Rod on the buttocks will not do permanent damage. Now, obviously, you don't use a rod on a three-month-old baby. But when they become a child, you can do this. So some fundamentalists thought that was the case. I'm going to spank my baby with a rod. My three-month-old baby, I'm going to spank him with a rod. We heard that before. All right. So anyway, but then notice also women rule over them. So that's anti-patriarchal God. All right. So how many, you look at society now, how many prominent women are out there? Prominent women, here, all areas of life. Prominent women. CEOs of companies. Is there any company around here that now doesn't have a CEO as a woman? Okay, what's going on? That doesn't mean they don't have ability. Doesn't mean they're not intelligent. It means they don't know their role. Okay? And why should the world know their role when Christianity doesn't even know the role? All right. So, Paul said, Paul exhorted the Ephesian Baptist Church, saying, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. All right, so feminism is against the triune Godhead. It's against Christ. Feminism is anti-Christ, and feminism is anti-church. All right? Husbands, love your wives. So husbands have a role, obviously. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands are to be sacrificial in their love towards their women. Husbands, it's not about husbands. It's not about husbands and everything they want and need and have to have and my whole life is around me as a husband. No, it's sacrificial love. So it's two ways. Take two people here to be biblical, filled with the Spirit. Not going to happen in the flesh. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul also said, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence, where Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. All right, so obviously women can speak in church for and after service, so on, but for them to be in a leadership position, talking, giving doctrine and teaching and speaking out loud during the assembly is something else. I've been in a lot of churches. And some of the men that were pastors as I went through this said the same thing. Yeah, we've got women in our churches who during the sermon yells out a point to her husband, hey, don't forget this point. That's out of order. All right, so husbands may forget points, but it's not the place for a woman to be, or even his wife, to be instructing him about the message or what he needs to say. I've been in several churches like this. Unless a Christian woman recognizes that she has been conditioned by society, government, and weak biblical teaching, she will allow Eve to arise in her heart and continue the cycle of the redivivice of Eve. Furthermore, men need to take over their patriarchal role of headship and honor their head. The Lord Jesus Christ, as Apostle Paul asserted, saying, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." 1 Corinthians 11. All right, so that, here's the question. Upon whom does the blame fall? All right, so Adam allowed it, and Eve was ready to grasp it. It's right there. Adam, are you going to step aside? Sure, I'll step aside. Okay, I'm going to get it. Just like that. Now, it wasn't until they ate that the sin and death came. But obviously, prior to this, there was the thinking going on. So, at this point, do we have any questions? That's rhetorical. All right, now I want to give you this chart here. So, the following chart used the rubrics of economy, religion, society, world, technology, culture, education, family, to show influences producing a downward drift of the Christian family unit and the ascendancy of a feminist America. The generalizations are subjective in mind, having lived through all six generations. I'm the only one who can say that. So I've lived through all six of these. These are man-made generations. They're titles, I understand that, but there is something to all this, all right? And so we don't know how we've been preconditioned quite often. And so we think because I've been preconditioned to think this way or that way or to act this way, it's okay. No, the American family is not the standard for Christianity. The Bible is the standard for the Christian family, not American families. Follow that? All right, so I've observed this. So some of you remember when we had Stephen Leal here, came here with his wife and so on. They were back in 2010, I think it was, and 11. Came over here from Indonesia. Came over here. And you know what? He came from a traditional, what they call today, nuclear biblical family. Came over here to America. Came over here to America and found out, boy, American Christianity is really weak, and so are the American families. They're really weak. Well, he comes from outside, comes to America. America's the great land. Well, Christianity is weak in America, and American families are weak. I go over to other foreign countries, over to Korea, over to India. There is the biblical family unit in these churches. But these people come over to America and they find out, wait a minute, these aren't biblical families. Even go to Philippines, traditional families there. So we'll get to some verses here in a few minutes here, but we're going to go on. So we'll look at these six generations. They're man-made, but I think they fit in with American history and the conditioning of each generation for the next generation, where everything begins to deteriorate. All right, so the Silent Generation, 1945. So I was born in 1945. All right, born in 1945. So. Got in on the tail end of that generation, but I grew up with parents of that generation for sure. So here are some of the rubrics, you might say, of that era. In the economy, post-depression, frugality, menial employment for men. So I learned from my parents, and my wife did as well. We learned frugality. I saved paper clips. Can you imagine that? What's wrong with you? I was conditioned to do that. We came out post-depression. Everything we had was going to be used. We didn't throw away anything until it was absolutely useless. That's our generation. Now, I'm just laying these things out. I'm not trying to build myself up, but I didn't choose to be born that generation. But that's the generation I grew up in, and I know all about it. Basically, America was a Christian society. Christian in quotes. Fundamentalism began to ascend. Public morality and ethics were expected. They were expected. You be moral, you be ethical. If a man said, let's shake on this deal, that's good. All right? Take your word out. We're going to shake on $1 million deal. All right? Traditional conservative values, the country is very patriotic, and patriarchy was prominent. It was prominent. So I grew up where my father worked. My mother stayed at home. We went to school, so we lived about a half a mile away from the school, so we were able to have breakfast about 7:30 in the morning, every morning, breakfast. My mother made it. At lunchtime, we had an hour for lunch. We came home for lunch, and my mother made us a lunch, my son, my brother and I. 5 o'clock, my father got home from work. We had supper. We had three traditional meals. All right? That's what we grew up with. And during this time, there was the specter of World War II was prominent. Just coming out of this, advancement of radio, telephone, not cell phones, telephone back in those days. Culture was humbled by humbled society by wartime. Many of the fathers came out of that. My father was in World War II. My wife's father was in World War II. They came out of this and they recognized the era. And we're so thankful for living through it and all the terror that they saw. Back in education, public education was conservative. We learned the 3 hours. 10 commandments were taught and prayers were in school. I can remember several of my teachers would pray before class. Can you imagine that? In a public school. Pray to the God of the Bible. I grew up in that. Then 1963, prayer was taken out of the schools. all right, then the family. Biblical roles for father who works, mother stays home, children expected to be obedient. Divorce forbidden by church and society. So I remember one time, my parents, after supper there in the kitchen, I was in the other room. They started whispering. So I knew when they were whispering, there was something I wanted to definitely hear. But they were talking about a woman 2 houses down from us who was going to get a divorce. Whispering. Oh, this is so terrible. Terrible. And churches didn't allow that for the most part. All right? That's the generation I grew up in. Only by the grace of God. That's my background. That's who I am. That's why I think, that's why I pastor. That's how I do different things. That's my background. All right? Then we go to the next generation, 1946 to 1964. So I'm also in this generation. This is called the baby boomers. This would be for those who are 61 and older, I guess. Anyway, economy, post-war prosperity, frugality still involved, increase in consumerism, employment for men and women, religion, basically a weaker Christian society, fundamentalisms on the move, mega church movements as well, morality and ethics were challenged. All right, society, traditional conservative values, very patriotic, patriotic, and matriarchy begins to ascend. Post-World War II perspective, television replaces radio. back in those days, television was black and white. You ever seen a black and white TV? No, you haven't. All right. So technology advances. Then rock and roll assaults parents and excites teenagers. Fornication of sins. Elvis Presley, Beach Boys, Beatles, and this takes off. Immorality. And immorality comes along. Education, main role, public education begins to weaken because of freedom in society. Biblical roles of father and mother weaken, with mother working to help support the American dream. Oh, the American dream after World War II, the American dream. Buy a house. Buy a brand new car. Beautiful homes. Maybe have two cars. We had two cars by this time. Children became independent. Divorces increase and accepted by society and church. Birth rate begins to decline. By the way, there's a study. From the first generation to the present generation, the birth rate has gone down, 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 down. Why is that? That's what I'm going over. It's on the decrease. Then next, there's Generation X. Those are 45 or older. Prosperity continues with dual incomes and women advancing careers. Now women have careers. Advancement of women within ministry and true biblical spirituality declines. Right, 1971, 1972, modern translations came out, but one translation in NIV says that when you see the Bible says brethren, extra biblical sources say brethren in some case, in some non-biblical cases, can mean men and women. No, brethren means men. The New Testament written to men. All right, men then were to teach the women. New Testament wasn't written to women. Wasn't written to men and women. Men were ruling in the churches. Men were the pastors. They were the teachers. So we see the modern versions come in and change this. All right, then, so Generation X, anti-authority perspective on all institutions. Women are equal to men in society and family. Men are diminished in roles. Abortion becomes a form of birth control. Abortion. It's just out and out murder. Where's Christianity now? Vietnam War and other worldwide skirmishes were going on. Technology, the computer age begins with primitive programs. When I was in college, I had to utilize these long cards here called COBOL or Fortran, put them in computers, computers with big rooms and so on. And then cultural radicalization of youth with degenerative forms of music. And then page three. Education, public education becomes more politicized with socialism. So all your Ivy League schools start to bring in communist teachers and socialism coming in. Family matriarchy advances in families and men and fathers are marginalized. Divorce and marital affairs increase. So men and women are in equal spots in the workforce, maybe not equal incomes, but in equal spots in the workforce. Divorce occurs, marital affairs occur. Now companies have many, many people in higher management with marital affairs going on all the time, all the time. Birth rate continues to fall. Then the millennials, 1981, 96, those are 29 or older. Materialism is rampant because of increased individual income. Church ministry is lucrative. Biblical doctrine and practice plummet. Parachurch ministries proliferate. Parachurch ministries proliferate because they can obtain income that to finance their efforts, and rather than the income and the personnel going to churches, it goes to these parachurch ministries now. All right, then society, individualism, selfishness prominent. Mental illness ascending. Why is it? Because roles are reversed. Boys and families are run by their mothers. Girls, mothers, where's the father? All right, mental illness ascends. World, relative freedom from and little concern about international issues. Society characterized by digital connectivity. Judeo-Christian worldview overtaken by secularism. Public education promotes secularism, socialism, and communism. Matriarchy becomes queen. Men and fathers are absent physically and emotionally. Family structure eliminated. Divorce accepted, expected, and birth rates plunge. All right, so we see this just continues. Just continues. Generation Z, those 13 older to 28. Economy, extreme materialism, commercialism. Little influence with biblical Christianity. Bible translations flourish to bring about revival in America, which never happened. Catholicism abounds. Society, extreme carnality. Socialism on the rise. Globalism on the rise. Technology, cell phones ascend throughout the world. Secularism triumphs over Christianity. Socialism, communism peak in public schools. So these public schools, what are they giving out? Even in grade schools now. Family unit is chaotic with no structure or father influence. Why marry? Just live together. Birth rate nil. Really, it's gone. And then Generation Alpha. Economy, greed is the watchword. Adult children living with parents. Pseudo-Christianity is the norm. Immorality, drugs, alcohol invade the populace. Mental health becomes a major crisis. China and Russia advance agendas. Electronic industry hypnotizes society. People are hypnotized. Paganism, selfishness radicalizes men, women, and children. Rejection of the three R's replaced with riot. That's the fourth R. No, it's the only R, riot. Family mentality is obsolete. Fall of family lends to fall of society. See, if the families go, that's why I'm interested and concerned about families here. So if the family falls, so does society. Society is built on families. Men are worthless. Who wants a child when you can have a dog? Think about it. Oh. So when I drive through West Hartford to cut Linda's grass Saturday mornings, I see all these young people up and down the streets, up and down the streets, walking their dogs. No babies, just dogs. Birth rate bombs out. Eve is king and not to be challenged. All right, so whatever society era you've been born in, you've been conditioned by American society and government for your thinking and practice. Now, you didn't choose what era, but in spite of all this, we can deal with this for our church members and people that we come in contact with a biblical perspective. That's what we want, to have a biblical perspective on this. And so you think of some of the younger couples here, you've been conditioned, and maybe not even realizing that. So if you accept the conditioning here and don't realize, wait a minute, the American family is not the standard for Christians, the biblical teaching is the standard for Christian families, then we need to realize, me as a man, a boy, need to walk in the Spirit and not be an Adamite. And me as a woman or a girl need to walk in the Spirit and not be a feminist. You walk in the flesh, ladies, you're a feminist. Man, you walk in the flesh, you're Adamites. That's what you are. All right, so now the Bible does give some parameters here. So let's look here in Titus, for instance, Titus chapter 2. Now I realize different families have different situations. I realize this. And so understand what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. So Titus chapter 2, verse 3, Scripture says, the aged women. The aged women. Now in 1 Timothy 5, Paul kind of thought somebody younger than 60 was an aged woman. That's what I thought. Anyway. But likewise, that they in behavior becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given them much wine, teachers of good things. So notice now that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Think of that, to love their husbands. Now couples, married couples, you remember when you got married? You made vows. Remember your vows? Did you mean them? Did you mean your vows? So when things start to get rough in your marriage, think about your vows. Think what you vowed. You vowed to each other. You vowed before this church or some church, and you vowed before the Lord about your love for your wife or husband. Think of that. So when things get rough, did I mean those vows? Did I mean those? All right, to love their husbands. All right, in a society where feminists exist in the flesh, whether saved or unsaved, they don't love their husbands. They love themselves. They love themselves. And to love their children. What, women should love their children? Love their children? They should love their children, is that right? That's what Paul says, but he's giving instruction because this is not natural. It's not natural to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So these are instructions that are given for the biblical family here. All right, so we work through this. What if I don't have any children? Well, that's different. If you've got children, so your husband and your children are your main priorities there for women. And so there needs to be a focus on that. And other godly things here as well. Because remember, with both Adam and Eve, so in the garden, who is at fault? Adam was at fault. So we understand that. Adam was at fault. He was standing right there next to Eve, and he deferred to her. All right, Eve, take this on, you know. Okay, I gladly will. Oh, I will grasp this. I'm going with this. And I'm so proud and puffed up, I can even tell the serpent what the Lord said. He said we couldn't even touch it. He said that in her pride. But even though in their heart and mind they were deviating from God's plan, sin and death didn't come till they ate. But before any action ever occurs, there has to be the heart intent or the mind to do the action, right? We understand that. All right, so we want each of us to understand that we've been conditioned by society and the government, by the world, by Satan, by the demons, or whatever era we live in, and so we need to recognize that. We don't say, no, everybody's doing this today. Everybody's doing this today. No, here's the standard. The Bible's the standard. So we start to put these things to practice. How do we do that? Well, we need to be spirit-filled, put these things to practice in our own lives, and realize, why am I doing this? Does this fit in? Does this fit into God's plan? Does this fit into God's plan? So we do have situations that need to be as close to the scriptures as possible, and need to obey the scriptures and put them to practice. And so this is the desire that pastors have for church members. And so we need to recognize that I've been conditioned to do this. Am I a feminist? Well, or am I an Adamite? Well, Today I did pretty good, but tomorrow's another day. Will I be filled with Spirit or not? And so we look around. So women can blame men. Men can blame women. But we need to look within. What am I doing? What am I allowing? It's personal for me. Doesn't do any good to blame everybody else. But my wife did that. My wife made me do this. So are you the husband? Are you the head of the unit or not? So wives, my husband made me do it. Well, if it's biblical, you need to be in submission. But this doesn't mean you can't give some counsel and advice. So, you know, there's ways of working through all this. All right, so anyway, I've been working on this for some time. So I didn't come up with these generations, but there have been others who have made evaluations as well. And I brought in some of my evaluations because I've lived through all six generations that have been alive. So I've seen this. Back when I was growing up, we didn't lock the doors of our house. We didn't lock the doors of our cars. Left them out in the street, left the house open. When I wanted to go ride my bicycle with some of the other guys on a summer night, my mother would say, "You'd be back by 8 o'clock. Didn't know where I was, didn't care where I was, knew I'd be safe. I got there back by 8 o'clock. We don't live in that society today at all. No parent would do that. No parent would say, "Hey, ride your bike 2 miles over to the park by yourself, and I expect to have you back here by 8 o'clock on a summer night." No parent would do that. But our parents did, all of us in our society. All right, so anyway, here's some teaching, some concern, effort that we need to think about and see how we fit in and how we have been influenced, and make sure that any influence that we have is a biblical influence, and any practice we have is a biblical practice. And Father, we pray that you bless us. Thank you for the time we've had to open Scripture and look at ourselves and have a desire to be the man, the woman, boy or girl you'd have us to be. Bless each one here. Help us to be strengthened and edified by this, and put to practice biblical truths, and not to be upset or mad or discouraged, but to realize the Lord wants us to have the good life in the will of God and see the blessings of the Lord on our lives and our families. We pray for. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen.